Father, we just thank you for your love for us in spite of ourselves. You continue to pour grace and mercy, compassion, love, and power through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this new year, this new opportunity to meet new friends and to see old friends as well. For you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You've created all things. Each breath we take has been ordained by your hand. And so each time, Lord, you allow us to walk and to breathe, it's to glorify you. Help us, Lord, today to see the bigger purpose in our lives, to see our responsibilities, and allow your Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. For we don't want to stay the same. Help us, Lord. Lord, I pray for the widows in the church, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts in times of loneliness. Lord, I pray for that marriage, Lord, is at its last end of the rope, Lord, and they need your Spirit to be that third cord. Lord, I pray for that person who's unemployed, seeking employment, Lord, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour financial blessings upon them. Lord, I pray for those future leaders in the church, those ministers that you have called, and yet they haven't responded, Lord, that they would rise to the occasion and surrender their lives to you. Lord, I pray for that woman today who's planning an abortion tomorrow, that you would somehow, some way intervene, Lord, that your Holy Spirit knock on her heart. Lord, I pray for the church, Lord, that we would be faithful to you and not our own agendas, and that our lives would be daily surrendered to you, that you would have your way in each one of our lives. Lord, we have great opportunities coming on our way in 2016. And Lord, we're in a political season of division. Lord, let us be united as one in you. And Father, we know that as we see the world falling apart, things are not falling apart. They're falling in place by your mighty hand. And we look to you, Lord, for our direction, for our wisdom. We thank you for this feast that we will have, potluck after the service today. Lord, we ask that you would bless the food, but also the feast on your word, Lord, that you would fill us spiritually and we would grow in our maturity with you. And so, Father, thank you for this gathering together in your name, that we may come to love you even more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 3 as we go through the book of James, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. James, Jesus' half-brother, speaks of taming the wild tongue. The tongue has power. The demonstration of a living faith is controlled by what it says. You ever say the wrong thing to someone and then wish you could take those words back? It's like, good morning, sir, ma'am. You ever do that? I'm the only one. We were at a couples conference once, and it was a lady we hadn't seen in a long time. And she was wearing these overalls, and my wife was pregnant at the time, and she looked pregnant to me, and I said, oh, so when are you due? And she goes, I'm not pregnant. And I'm like, oh, right? You think you'd make that mistake once? Not me. I make those mistakes quite often. But taming the tongue has power. The words that we speak have meaning. James opens up speaking the observations, the greater accountability to the teachers and the difficulty of not stumbling. As teachers of the word, we have a tremendous responsibility in what we say and how we say it and what we teach from the scriptures, whether it's our own opinion of what the scripture says or what the scripture says. We see Moses being told to strike the rock and it would bring forth water, right? And as they continued along the path, it was a picture of Jesus being struck on the cross, but living water would flow from that. And as he walked with the people of Israel, he became frustrated with them because they were complaining night and day. And he says, Lord, how could you put me out here with these people? And they were thirsty and they were hungry. And so God told him to speak to the rock, speaking of God's forgiveness and his grace and his mercy by just asking, right? Instead of speaking to the rock, he misrepresented Christ and what he was teaching, and he struck the rock. And water came out, and they were filled with their thirst. However, he misrepresented God, and he was not able to bring the Israelites into the promised land. There's a tremendous responsibility on how we teach, what we teach, and when we teach it as well, right? Today is the day. I pray 2016 is the name of Jesus every day on our tongue. I have this shirt that I told you about, Jesus, 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 it says. And I stood in the main walkway in Disney World, and I just stood there like this, and there's a picture on my Facebook. And it stood out like you wouldn't believe. It's in these fluorescent green colors, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I stood there for about 10 minutes, 10, 20 minutes. My wife was getting an ice cream. Now, in 10, 20 minutes on the main walkway in Disney World, there's probably 500 people that walked by. And I didn't have to say a word. But listen, while we have the opportunity, while we have the chance, let's speak the name of Jesus. Let's proclaim His glory. As our radio station is just on the edge of being on the internet, and God willing, shortly after that, on the airways, Spirit FM 107.1 is our opportunity, our church's ministry, to be able to get the word of Jesus Christ out there. While we have the chance, right? While we have the opportunity, while that window's open. So James begins to talk about, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So James, as a sober admonition for those who would become teachers in the church, they must take the responsibility seriously because their accountability is greater, and they shall receive the stricter judgment. Not that we're going to heaven or hell if we make a mistake, but for the rewards purposes and representing Christ. It's easy to take the position of a teacher lightly in the church without considering the cost in terms of the accountability. I've had many men come into church, hey man, God's called me to be a pastor. Will you ordain me? I'm like, well, I can't ordain you. God has to do that. And the fruits of that ordination, God working in your life, you ministering to people, your talents and skills and gifting by the Holy Spirit, would confirm that, yes, God has anointed you and ordained you, and we would just confirm that as an ordination. But I'm not the one to do that. God is the one to do that. As God began to work in my life, I didn't particularly have the call to be a pastor. I just wanted to know more about God. And so after I got saved, all I knew is that I was in bondage over sin, and when I got saved, surrendered my life to the Lord, I had a lot of questions about the Lord. Coming from the Catholic faith, I knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and I knew some scripture, but I had so many questions. And I began to ask people about the things of God, and they began to tell me their opinions. And you know when somebody's winging it, right? No, that's not right. And so I went into seminary school, and I began to learn the basic foundations of the scriptures. Now, it sounds really cool, I went to seminary, but it's just the tip of the iceberg of the vast ocean of truth in God's Word. But I got some particular training in the Scriptures, and as the Lord began to open up the doors of opportunity to minister, I said, all right, now I graduated, what do I do, Lord? If you want me to teach, have somebody ask me. And I've shared that with you before. 2 weeks later, a pastor asked me to fill in for him. So it was a specific answer to prayer, showed the Lord's calling in my life, but I still didn't have the calling to be a pastor. And the Lord began to work in my heart as we had small group ministry, which then grew into the church. But I didn't wake up one day, God, I'm a pastor, anoint me, and I'm going to go minister to you. It's the Lord, listen, working in your life. There is a tremendous responsibility to be a teacher of the Word, and God may be calling you to do that. But there's a training and there's a preparation that has to happen in your heart first, right? A total surrender to the Lord. Some of us are believers and we're walking with the Lord, but that old man just wants to rise up. And some of us think that people don't see that, but they do. It's kind of like a veil, a dim mirror. We can see it, and that old man wants to rise up. But you'll surrender to the Lord. You don't want everybody to see that flaw. Man, we need so much work done in our hearts. Wouldn't you agree? God wants to do so much more work in each one of us. Could you imagine what we could do for the Lord if we were totally surrendered, or what He would do through us if we were totally surrendered to Him? You see, sometimes we think that the Lord doesn't hear our prayers, or He's not listening, or we're not that important, and God feels so distant, but He's never walked away from us. His promise is what? If we would draw near to Him, that He would draw near to us. And then God begins to do this amazing work in your heart, listen, in your life, and in your circumstances. He will create circumstances to fulfill His purpose. Remember I said things are not falling apart in the world, they're falling in place? God has a plan and He has a purpose. And all these things that are happening are part of fulfilling his purpose and his plan. And so James is telling us, listen, if you want to be a teacher, man, there's a stricter judgment. Make sure your heart is surrendered to the Lord. Make sure you want to serve, that God has called you not for some agenda, but for his agenda, right? See, we're not in ministry for the income. We're in it for the outcome, right? Same with police work. When I got in police work, money was the last thing I thought about. It was cops and robbers. I was a young kid watching Adam 12 and Rookies and saw these police shows, and I wanted to be one of those guys. And some of you are smiling because you saw the same shows. And so I got into it for the purpose, for the outcome, to do good. It wasn't for the income. And so God's going to do this transformation in your heart, that we're not in it for our own agenda, but we're in it to glorify the Lord. Luke says in chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, Jesus warned, to whom much is given, from him much is required. To whom much has been committed, to him he will ask even more. And so listen, the more you know about the Lord, the more is required of you, the more responsibility you have to that surrendered life to God. The ancient Greek word translated stumble, because he says now that we would stumble, that we stumble in many things, right? We all are just sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. I'm not more important to you because I stand here on the pulpit. The position is sacred because God says so, but me, I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. And so I have a responsibility with this calling to teach the right things, though we stumble. The ancient Greek word translated stumble does not imply a fatal fall, but something that trips us up or hinders our progress with the Lord. And so you know what's so great about the Lord? Is that he's a God of second chances. Although I stumble, he doesn't say, oh boy, all right, that's it. Scratch my name out of his book. And then when I repent, he writes it back in. Because there'd be a hole in that page, right? From all the times that I have fallen and all the times that I have sinned. You know what? He says, your name is written. Listen, for those who believe, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You're recorded. You are documented. And the proof of that is the Holy Spirit, listen, that is in you, is a seal and a guarantee of your inheritance. And no one can take that from you. Now, I don't know about you, but those are the promises that 2 Peter tells us that we've been given, these precious promises through Christ. Those are promises that I hold fast to. Because you know what? I'm not perfect and I stumble. But thanks be to God. And Paul does the same thing. Paul, who was our New Testament pastor, if you will, who wrote most of the New Testament, says, these things I want to do, I don't do them. And the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing. And what a wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body? And he says, thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. He does it for us. And listen, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I see it is important that I finish well. That I finish well, that I don't stumble away, but I finish well. Because here's what happens. God is going to carry us even through our old age into his presence. He who began a good work in you, he's begun it. We may have stumbled, but listen, he hasn't kicked us out of the kingdom. He holds us fast as his precious child. Though we stumble, we will not ultimately fall. But he who began that good work in you will complete it to the end. Isn't that encouraging? That's encouraging for me. Because sometimes, you know, you wake up in the morning, oh man, another day. But thanks be to the Lord for this very day, so that I may glorify him and that I would see things with spiritual eyes. After I got saved, because I love fruit, right? After I got saved, I never forget, I was going to work and I was eating an apple driving in the car. And I'm like, oh Lord, thank you for this apple. Oh, it's so good. It was just amazing to me, the apple that I had after I got saved. Why? That may sound silly to some of you, but I really was looking at the gifts that God gave us through his spiritual eyes. We never think about the simplest things that God has given us, wonderful food. And then we look up at the sky. Oh, Lord, thank you for the blue sky. And thank you for the clouds. And oh, what a beautiful tree. And I begin to see things that God has created. Because you know why? The Bible says that it is the creation of God that glorifies the Lord. As we look at the stars in the sky and the things around us. But look at your life. Look how God has blessed you. So often we want to look at the bad things, right? Oh man, you if you only knew. But God knows. Have you forgotten all the wonderful things that He's done for you? Oh, you might not be where you want to be, but you're not where you were, right? And God reached down in that miry pit and He pulled you out and He washed you clean and He set you on a solid foundation and He clothed you in His righteousness and His Holy Spirit now dwells and lives within you to guide you, to help you, to give you power to overcome. And now my life is filled with the Holy Spirit of grace, peace, mercy, and joy. Wait a minute, Pastor, I don't feel any of that stuff. What are you talking about? Oh, we have it. It comes, listen, with the package of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us that we have all the blessings in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. But what hinders us from enjoying that is ourselves. We want to focus on all kinds of other things instead of focusing on the things of importance. We're taught, and Satan wants that, right? He wants us distracted about the silliest things in life to keep us distracted from the Lord. We have all these iPads, iPhones, eyeballs, all these things that we have. Distract us, listen, from searching for the wonders of the Lord through His Word and praising Him with our lives. And I have found, listen, when I do that, I'm filled with that joy. I have taken my eyes off of the flesh, the world, and the devil. And those are our three enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil. All of them fight against our spiritual walk with the Lord. And so as the Holy Spirit begins to overwhelm us with His presence, you'll hear me often pray that the Holy Spirit would overwhelm us with His presence. I feel that joy in my heart. Why? Because I'm no longer focused on me and my concerns of the world, but I'm looking at this huge, mighty Savior, this mighty God, and my problems become so small. And then I realize I have a tremendous responsibility to faithfulness with the Lord, to be faithful in my calling, to be faithful as an example to those around me, to be faithful in loving my wife, to be faithful in loving my kids, to be faithful in loving you and praying for you. Listen, when this is an empty church, we're praying for anyone who sits in those seats. We have prayer teams. If you're not here, we know it. We may call you. Don't think we're being nosy, but we want to know if you're okay because we care. Listen, if you weren't here, I'd be talking to myself, right? And God says we have this tremendous responsibility. To do what? What's the purpose? To share. To give. To share. We've all been called to God's ministry to make disciples, to bring the good news of the gospel to those who are lost. And if you're a believer, someone at some point in your life brought that good news to you. You may have fought it your whole life and the Lord had knocked on your heart one day, because that's what happened to me. I grew up as a Catholic, and my mother, who had left the Catholic faith many years before I got saved, used to tell me, Ken, do you know Jesus? Ma, I went to Mass. Leave me alone. Right? I wore this banner of a religion, and yet I knew I was lost. And when the Lord knocked on my heart, I surrendered my life. He took this world of sin off me. We talk about breaking the chains and setting us free. That's what happened. And then the Lord called me into ministry. So now I have a tremendous responsibility. Each day our lives are surrendered to Him. Each day we need to be filled. Why? Because we get empty, right? We work all day. We get challenges. What do you think happens before we come to church? How many people get in a fight or an argument with somebody before they get to church? And I see all those faces smiling, because almost all of us have some type of issue or something before we come to church on Sunday morning. Why? Because Satan wants us to stumble, right? He wants us to take our mind off of coming to worship Him and worrying about some incidental things that happen around us. And he says, I love you. I love you so much that I gave my all so that you can be with me forever. The promise of God is that He wants to be with us and that we would be with Him for eternity. And James is saying those who wish to be teachers of this truth have a tremendous responsibility. Everyone shouldn't say, hey, I want to be a teacher. but only when we're called. We're all called to minister and to speak of the truth of the gospel to make disciples, but he's particularly calling those in the pastorate. Verses 3 through 6. Indeed, and he's speaking of the power of the tongue, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body, and it turns the whole body. Look also at a ship, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets afire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So he's talking about the tongue. It's a very small part of the anatomy, but yet what trouble it can bring us, what fires it can spark. The tongue is something that has the capacity for great blessings, but great evil as well. You ever catch yourself saying a bad word? Yeah. And sometimes in our frustrations, those words will come out. But I have to tell you, before I was a believer, those were part of my language. Those four-letter words were three parts of every sentence. And it's so ridiculous to hear that after you no longer speak that way. But that was a condition of my heart. You see, it's from the heart that the word is spoken. That's why Jesus says, if you believe in your heart, you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? The Holy Spirit witnesses to the glory of Jesus Christ, right? And we proclaim to the Father through the name of Jesus. And so we witness by our tongue, but it's a condition of our heart. And so when I spoke those bad words, it was a condition of my cold, calculated heart. But when the Lord comes in your life, he begins to transform and change you from the inside out. He softens your heart. He changes what was so important to me back then, it has no meaning to me now. And he begins to change the way we think and the way we speak. There's power in the tongue. The tongue has ruined many young lives. Ill-spoken words from their parents. You'll never amount to anything. You're useless. Those words continue today in the heads of those who haven't been surrendered to the Lord, because he is the one who will ultimately heal that. We have the power to speak life into people. Speaking life through the truth of the word, right? To bring that living water and the praise of God to those who are parched. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for the Lord. Listen, those without the Lord are dead, and they will ultimately be dead. And it's a lifetime of dying in eternal hell. We have the words of life to speak to them. God speaks to the prophet, and he says, speaking of the nation of Israel, there was a valley of dead bones, dead people. And it's a picture of Israel. He says, speak life into those bones. And he began to speak the word into the bones, and God put flesh on the bones, and they came to life. That's what God did in my life. I was a dead man walking, thinking I was right with God. And yet, when I received that Holy Spirit, he had then poured life into me. I've gone from darkness to light, from death to eternal life. We have that ability to encourage people, to lift people up. But why don't we do that all the time? Because we perhaps have been conditioned. And that condition controls how we act. Right? It's called the subconscious. We do things just because we do them. We've been programmed. There's been times when I was working, I'd get up, drink coffee, get dressed, go to work, come back, and it would be the same cycle every day. And I wouldn't even have to think. That's the subconscious. Now, if we've been brought up in a bad environment, which we all have, in an environment of sin, and we've heard these bad things spoken about us, they will form the way we think about ourselves, right? And they will form the way we act. Somebody says, well, I've always done this since I was a child. My sister once told me, when I told her to come hear the Word of God preached at the church, she says, I'm a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic. I said, well, you could die a Catholic, just come hear the Word of God taught. Program that she's a Catholic. So we, you ever hear, and I'm half Italian, so don't be offended, but I'm Italian, this is why we do this, right? Well, we've been programmed, don't be offended, we've been programmed because somebody in our family was loud and boisterous, so we have to do that, and we'll label ourselves, oh, we're Italian, this is why we do it. And Paul, listen, Paul tells us that we don't have to be like that anymore. I don't have to be what somebody said I was. I don't have to be bound and act upon things because Satan told me this is what I was, or a condition that I have no control over, and Satan tells me, oh, it's your fault and this is the way you are, so continue in this lifestyle. Paul says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I no longer have to think that way, talk that way, or act that way. The transformation happens and the renewing of my mind happens by the power of the Holy Spirit as I look to God for my power and my strength. We read James, he says, to resist the devil and he will flee from you, right? Now we all quote that, but we don't quote the verse before that. The sentence before that says to submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it's a submitting to God. And God gives us that power. It enables us to resist the devil. And what does he do? He has to flee from you. We've submitted to God. And that's the transformation that happens in our hearts as well. So now as I speak, it's a condition of my heart. And that condition of my heart should be love and compassion and grace. Where once before it was darkness, cold, and putting down, now I'm lifting people up. And I'm looking for ways to love on people. I'm looking for ways to encourage people. Listen, there's a lot of hard people out there. And sometimes you have to search for things that are open that you can say, oh, you do this great or you do that great. But do it. You know why? Because God does it to you. Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Lord, speaking on your behalf. That's what Scripture says. And even when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us speaks on our behalf. Jesus tells Peter, Satan wishes to sift you like wheat. What does that mean? He wants to take you out of the game. He wants you to stumble. But I am praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. He knows the condition of your heart. He knows the circumstances that you're going through. And he's praying for you because he loves you. God's not mad at you. Romans 5 says that we have peace with our Maker. We have access to His throne. He has clothed us in righteousness. And to me, that is encouraging words from the Lord. But our tongues, listen, have the power to lift people up or bring them down. And as God lifts us up and encourages us, we want to do this same thing. It's been said that a sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. That's true. I've been around some really keen, sharp people. Man, they can cut you down in a New York minute and think nothing of it. Like, how did you think that through? Because they constantly do it, and they become keener. We talk about iron sharpens iron. We want to sharpen our things of the Lord, right? And the grace and mercy, not the things of the world. A strong horse can be controlled by this little bit in its mouth. And a large ship can be moved by this little rudder. The same thing with the tongue. The tongue has a power. And it's an illustration of what the tongue can do. See how great a forest a little fire can kindle. Words that were spoken to you as a little child may be ringing in your ears right now as we're talking about this. Now they can be words of encouragement, or they can be words that have kept you in bondage your whole life. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day the Lord wants to set you free. Why? Because we're talking about it now. And he says to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You are a child of the living God. And the Holy Spirit from the Creator dwells within you. And God doesn't want you to no longer be bound in words that have kept you in bondage, but he wants you to be set free. That fire that is burning in your heart of hatred towards someone who has said something about you, know this, you can say those same words to someone and do the same thing. and let it not be among God's people. Because we know that happens in the world, and we're not to judge the world, the Bible says, but we're to judge ourselves. Is our life consistent with Scripture? Well, I pray it is. James echoes the testimony of Proverbs regarding the tongue. In Proverbs 26, it speaks of a person who doesn't consider the destructive power of his words. He says, like a madman who throws firebrands and arrows and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You ever been around that person? Cut you down and embarrass you. I was just kidding. Really? Do you know what you just did? You've embarrassed me. You just brought something up I never wanted to think again. But listen, when that happens, we have the power to overcome those thoughts. And here's what happens when we forgive that person. It will no longer affect us. That effect that happens when we remember that person, if we forgive them, after a time, when that comes up again, it won't affect us. Why? We've forgiven them. We've been set free. I think I spoke last week about someone who has an anger issue, and they think of this person. They're so mad at that person because what that person once did or once said. Now, that person is living their life. They have no recollection of what is keeping this person in bondage. But if that person would ask for forgiveness and allow the Holy Spirit to clean and cleanse, then they would be set free. And when that person's name comes up again, there'll be no hindrance. There'll be no more effect upon them. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 12. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Listen, we have no idea sometimes what's happening in people's lives around us. And it's really just that encouraging word, that touch on their shoulder. Hey, somebody recognizes me. The Lord has sent somebody to encourage me. It's an answer to prayer, perhaps. And we may change our lives just with the wonderful good morning. Somebody's recognized me. Somebody's been cursing at me all week long. I live in a house that has this or that, and perhaps it's a wife who's a believer and nobody else is, and she comes to church and she hears words of encouragement and wisdom. That's life-changing. That's life-changing. I told the story of a pastor who would greet the parents as they would drop off their kids, but there was a certain two girls that would be dropped off every week, and the parents would take off and not even come to church, just drop the kids off. And the pastor didn't have the opportunity to meet the parents, so week after week this would happen. And it just so happened that one day he stopped these two little girls and said, hey, how come your parents don't come to church, and why do you come if they don't come? And this is what the little girls told the pastor. Because we're loved here. I hope that chokes you up, because it chokes me up. Because we're loved here. This is what's supposed to happen in the house of the Lord. That we're loved here. The picture of families is supposed to be love. I'm running out of time because we're going to have communion. Verse 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Jesus one day said something that is worth considering at this point. He said, it's not really that which goes into the man that defiles the man, but it what comes out of the man that defiles the man. In other words, it's not what you eat, speaking of the sacrifice of animals, and if they ate that, it's not that that defiles you, it's what comes out of your mouth. It's what you speak. Why does it defile you? Because it's a condition of your heart. Verse 9 through 12, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in this similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. That means a lot, doesn't it? Out of our mouths should be joy and peace, and grace and mercy. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Did you capture that? Underline those words. Earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But now he gives us, listen, a spiritual test. When we want to test the things that we said, what does God consider it? Is it from God? And verse 17 and 18, it says this, but the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that is from God, is first pure, and then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The worship team can come up. Did you capture that? First, it's pure, and then it's peaceable. It's gentle. It yields. It's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. And now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, and I believe those are the believers. And so perhaps you've come today and you're not sure that you have eternal life. Today is the day of salvation. If the Lord has knocked on your hearts and you say today that I want to be a believer, just close your eyes and say these prayers with me before we receive the elements. Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I believe you died on the cross and you rose the third day for my sins. And from this day forward, you are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've said those words, you've gone from death unto life.